Thank you, Steve. Thank you for telling us about what God's doing in Bangladesh. And it is not time wasted at all. It is us pausing and, for as best we can, taking our minds completely into a different time and culture and listening to what God is doing. And it's a wonderful thing. I have prepared a few thoughts. Now I'm going to go ahead and just slice that on down. But I want you to turn with me to Psalms 104. We'll spend about 10-15 minutes as a continuation of what Steve brought to us here in this report in Bangladesh. I read this psalm this week, and it didn't leave me. And maybe maybe I'm just a simple man, but the verses, the heart of the psalmist here is what stood out to me, and I'd like to just try to communicate that this morning. Could we, as we look at this psalm, and we'll read it here in just a moment. But David, I believe, was the writer that's sort of accepted, and he began to pen these words, and just the simplicity of it, the depth of it, the understanding that's in it, the flow of it. Matthew Henry said this about it: "This noble poem is thought to be very competent, judges greatly to excel, not only for piety and devotion, but for the flight of fancy, the brightness of ideas, surprising turns, and all the beauties and ornaments of expression." And this is what David wrote. Let's read it. And I'll read it, and we'll follow along here together. "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God." Is that the language that you use? Do we have those kinds of thoughts? "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God." And he continues on. "Who covereth thyself with light as with a garment, who stretchest out thy heavens like a curtain." I might just go ahead and read this for short of for sake of time. Just make a few comments as we go along, and we'll close as we get to the end of the psalm. These two verses here that we started with, this clothing with honor and majesty, the light as a garment, the stretching out heavens as a curtain. One of the ideas that was brought out here was that this may have been similar to, or may have been sort of descriptive of, like the tabernacle with the curtains and the light, and also the priests with their garments clothed with majesty. But I also thought of it this way: when God was seen by humans, what they saw was light. Many times, the brightness of his presence. And Jesus there on the Mount of Transfiguration, his face shone like the sun. It was either that way or it was in a cloud. It was the presence was there, but it was shrouded. And so I think as David is writing these poems, that's what he's picturing. That's the history he's thinking about. And so he pens these words: "Who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the cloud his chariot, who walketh upon the winds of the wind, who maketh his angels spirit, his ministers a flaming fire." Now, again, descriptive language, describing things that are beyond us. And what I'm seeing here in David's writing is he is recognizing the spiritual being of God, the angels who are present here, who are at work in the world, among humanity. And what he's recognizing is that there's so much more that we cannot see. It's just beyond us. It's beyond the realm. I mean, these eyes are 44 years old. And I was thinking about this morning. I'm not sure if it's the lighting. It's just less brilliant than my desk lamp that's here. But you might just see me with glasses one of these days. But our eyesight, I'm talking about our eyesight for just a moment. But what he is telling us is that there is so much beyond what we can see, and he's recognizing in here. But then he moves on, and now he's going to talk about things that we can see. And he says it in verse 5, who laid the foundation of the earth that it should not be removed forever? Thou coverest it with deep as with a garment. The water stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. They go up by the mountains. They go down by the valley unto the place which thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound over them, that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. I'll just stop there for a moment. And it seems like the psalmist here is talking to us about creation. And if you want to go back to Genesis 1, you'll notice that the earth was without form and void, and water had covered. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water, it says. And then God spoke, and he called the firmament out, and the waters receded. And that is the creation of this earth. And I believe that we could probably see that's what David's talking about here. He's telling us about that. He's also telling us that God has set the oceans in bounds. And I don't know if you noticed last night was full moon. And the full moon does some unique things to tides, to waters. And so does a new moon. And it has to do with the alignment. It has to do with gravitational pulls of the sun and the moon, and we learn those things. We study them in science, and we ponder over those things. But can you fathom the power that is in motion and held in check against each other that pulls up these waters so that there's a low tide, or lets them come down and push into the rivers and create a high tide, and yet it's all balanced right there. You know, it's been set in motion, and as the earth turns on its axis, that's the God that David was talking about. Oh, Lord, my God. You know, today we're still living in a world that is full of evolutionary thought, and it was the Big Bang. It was something that created this matter to just sort of come together and somehow. And it is theory. It is ideas. It is some kind of reasoning. And this morning, we do stand here and we recognize, we are saying that yes, there is a God beyond what we can see. There is a creator. We profess that in faith. And one of the reasons why our faith is grounded, not just in theory, it's grounded in reality and hope, because we listened to what Brother Steve had to share with us about what God's doing in Bangladesh. We recognize and we see those kinds of very powers in our own lives. There's those spiritual powers that we recognize and we see and we understand that there's a God. And beyond that, we see such order and balance in creation that we recognize it. And that's what the psalmist, I think, is talking about here. And then he continues on in verse 10. He sendeth the springs into the valleys which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. He watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, and the herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. I'll just stop there for a moment. Spring's about to be here. This morning we had some of those rains. And I told my wife, well, you know what? I think this rain's just going to take winter away. Have you ever stopped? You know, we have... When we run out of water, we call Martins. We call the plumber. We spend very little time recognizing the ways in which God has brought fresh water and made it accessible to humanity and sustains it. Do you ever stop and think about the water that's pushing out of the roaring spring spring every day, every minute, every hour. There it is, just, well, it's called Roaring Spring for a reason. You could hear it pushing out of underneath that, coming out of that aquifer. And this is what David's recognizing. Maybe it was his time spent living in the woods. We spend so little time outside of the four walls and the comforts of our homes that we lose sight of how close to nature so much of society lived before us and is still living. But David there, as he was running from Saul, and as he came to that little spring coming out of the side of the mountain, and they had the water they needed, he recognized, again, he's recognizing Creator God, and the water that God gives for his creation. And then alongside those streams spring up the trees and the birds are in it, and the whole ecosystem of life just happens. You know, you've got the birds that lay the eggs, and then the ravens or the crows come along and steal the eggs, and they're providing for themselves, and you just see that whole, all of it's in place here. God's created it. He goes on then in verse 15. That's worth noting. Well, not too many of us have put oil on our faces this morning, but what he's talking about, he's describing the very necessities for man, and that is to be able to stop from our labors and to be able to take on food and to be able to be blessed by what God's created. The wine maketh glad the heart of man, the oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's spirit. I don't know how many of you have felt that sensation. Maybe we're around food too much. We've got it so close. We just reach into that lunchbox and grab out a bag of chips at 10 a.m. and then we work on the carrots at 11. And at noon, we start on the sandwich, and we never really got that hungry. But to be in a place where you're working and you're just famished and you're getting a little weak in the knees, you've probably experienced that as well. You're working on that project. You're focused on it. You're not going to stop till you get it done. And then things go wrong, and what you had planned to do didn't work out. And finally, you stop. You sit down and you eat food. And then your mind starts to come back together. Your spirit starts to rise back up. And you say, look, we can fix this thing. And why didn't I think about trying this before? And we are able to face it. And that's what God's created. That's the way God's designed us. And he's made it so that we can be refreshed spiritually and physically. We see that in those verses. We continue on then. The trees of the Lord are full of sap. The cedars of Lebanon which he hath planted. Maybe that's what got my attention. But just the way, again, this man is writing, and he doesn't just write about the trees. He said the trees of the Lord are full of sap. Again, I see it's a very positive, confirming David in his writing here of God's power and his creation and his sustenance. The trees aren't just so surviving, they're full of sap. And I think layered underneath and through all of this writing is this encouragement for us. Life might not feel full of sap right now. You may be facing some problems that you don't understand, that you don't have the answers to, but this God who fills the trees with sap, who has created and sustained all of his creation, is going to also provide for you and for me. Where the birds have their nests, the storks, the fir trees are her house. The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats, the rocks for the cronies. He appointed the moon for the seasons. The sun knoweth his going down. Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. The sun ariseth. They gather themselves together and lay down in their dens. Man goeth forth unto his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are thy works! And he just stops. I just want to stop there for a moment and just recognize again how there is a time for darkness and there's a time for light. And so the darkness, the sun begins to set, and we experience that end of the day, night is coming on, and we begin to shut down. It's the way God made it. He also made it that as we begin to shut down, the animals begin to come out. And so, again, we just see the plan of God in just these little accounts of his creation. That they go out, seek after their meat from God, and then the sun ariseth, and they withdraw back into their dens, and man comes out and goes about his work, his labor. O Lord, he says, how manifold are thy works. In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. And yes, this morning we are willing to stand up. We are willing to say with confidence that yes, the Lord hath made them all. We believe that. We accept that to be true. He goes on to talk about the oceans, the great and wide seas, wherein things are creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts. These seas are still one of the unexplored frontiers. There's many things. There's many creatures and species there that have not yet been found. They believe that to be true because they continue to regularly find new animal life in the seas that they haven't encountered before. And they just know that there is more there. And there is. That is the seas. They're great. They're wide. The ships are there. There's the Leviathan. That's another subject. A creature that was playing therein. These wait all upon thee that thou mayest give them their meat in due season, that thou givest them they gather. Thou openest thine hand, they are filled with good. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to their dust. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. God does all of that. He looketh, the glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. Verse 31. He looketh on the earth and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills and they smoke. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth. And let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord. The power of God in verse 31 and 34 through 34 is manifested, can manifest in frightening ways. And I don't know what all is meant here by the hills trembling, the smoke. It could be describing natural disasters such as volcanoes. It could also be describing the fact that when God came down, and Hebrews 12 describes this, when God came down upon the mount to give his commandments to men, those people at the mountain, they just kept backing away because it was so terrible and they were so fearful of it. They were so fearful of what they were seeing. What do we conclude from this meditation? I want to ask us this morning to ask ourselves these questions. What is my meditation of God? How sweet is it? How sweet is it? I see sweetness and love in David as he wrote, as he expressed his heart. And so we should ask ourselves that question. Also, this psalm, I think, poses this question. Actually, it gives us answers, but we should ask ourselves, are we trusting also in this great God for your situation, for my situation? We also ask ourselves the question, are we unthankful? Are we unthankful and nearly agnostic? Do we hardly see God in our lives? Do we hardly see him in this creation? And I wonder if that's not what David was expressing in that last verse. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth. Let the unthankful, the ones who don't recognize God, the ones who have lost their faith in God. And so this morning, perhaps we can, as we read the Bible, maybe you'll read this chapter on your own again this week. Conclude with the psalmist, bless thou the Lord, O my soul, praise ye the Lord. Let's kneel for closing prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come before you here this morning, and we thank you, O God, for this day. Thank you for this first day of the week that we can come together like this, to gather around your word and to be instructed by it. And Lord, we thank you for each one who had part this morning. We thank you for the gifts that were exercised this morning. And Lord, we do lift up our brothers and sisters in Bangladesh as we heard about them this morning. Lord, we do pray that, first of all, that you would receive honor and glory for what you are doing among your creation. And I pray that you would help us to be encouraged and refreshed and renewed in our own commitments to Christ. And that there is a cause, and that there is the Church of Christ is springing up all across this globe. And I pray, too, that you'd help us as we go through this day and into the week, that we would be people of faith, that we would see you and your hand and your creation around us, and that in seeing it, we would understand your goodness, your greatness, and the way that you are sustaining your earth, and you'll also sustain us. And so I do pray that we would help us to reach out in faith, help us to reach out for your grace and your strength to enable us to live lives for you and to walk in this world that you've called us to live in. So bless us now, the remainder of this day. Bless us as we go from this place, and may you be honored and glorified. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.